of this particular week. So wanted to bring forward a sermon that reflected that theme of peace here for us. Scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness. From this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we enter the season of Advent, we come before you with hearts that long for your peace. We thank you for sending Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to reconcile us to you and to bring hope to a broken world. Teach us to live as your peacemakers, sharing your love, and may your Spirit guide us as we listen. May your peace transform us from the inside out. Amen. So when was the last time that you truly felt at peace? You can think about that for a moment. Maybe it was a quiet moment with the family. Maybe it was a long walk in nature. Maybe it was just a time in life when everything seemed to fall into place. Yet all of those moments feel fleeting, don't they? The world intrudes, conflicts arise, relationships strain, and worries just start to creep in. Advent reminds us that peace isn't something we stumble upon or something that's manufactured on our own. It's something that God has promised and provided through Jesus. Today we're going to look at the promise of peace in Scripture, in its fulfillment in Jesus, and how we can live as people of peace. We'll also set our hearts on the eternal peace that will be with us when Christ returns. So we can begin with this foundation of peace, God's promise in Scripture. At Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, gives us one of the most beautiful pictures of peace in all of Scripture. Isaiah is proclaiming this promise in a time of deep turmoil. Israel's living under the shadow of war and oppression and unsure of what their future holds. Yet in the midst of all of this uncertainty, God is speaking through Isaiah, promising that a child who will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace will come. So if we think about those titles, not just poetic words, they describe the very character of the Savior who is to come. Wonderful Counselor. You ever felt lost or unsure of what to do? The Messiah offers divine guidance and wisdom. Mighty God, in our weakest moments, his strength is enough to sustain us. Everlasting Father, when you feel alone or abandoned, he provides care and stability that never ends. And Prince of Peace, but he doesn't just bring peace, he embodies peace. His reign restores what sin has broken, bringing harmony to our relationships with God, others, and creation. And this promise wasn't just for Israel, as we see in Isaiah. It is for us too. In a world that often feels chaotic and out of control, Isaiah's words remind us that God's peace is not fragile. It's rooted in his justice, righteousness, and zeal. So do you find yourself longing for peace today? Isaiah's words are a reminder that God's promises are trustworthy. Even when life feels uncertain, the Prince of Peace is reigning and his plan will not fail. You can trust that his peace is available to you now, just as it was promised so long ago. That promise of peace in Isaiah points us forward to its fulfillment in Jesus. We can consider how Christ brings peace to every area of our lives. If we fast forward to a stable in Bethlehem, in the quiet of the night, the Prince of Peace enters the world. The angels announce his birth to the shepherds, declaring, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased." Jesus came to bring peace to the world in three profound ways. First, we're going to have peace with God. And the scripture reference here would be Romans 5:1. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So, sure that we all know what it's like to be at odds with someone important in our lives. A family member, close friend, maybe a spouse or even a child. That tension weighs really heavily on us. So imagine being at odds with God. He's the creator of the universe. And to be at odds with him, that's the state that we're born into because of sin. Good news, though. This good news that we read in Romans. Through Jesus, God made a way for us to be reconciled to him. When Paul uses the words justified by faith, what he means is that Jesus took the punishment for our sins. And through faith, we're declared righteous. That result is peace with God. We're no longer his enemies, but now his beloved children. So if we think about our own relationship with God, do you feel at peace with God? Or do you carry any kind of guilt or shame? Jesus offers you freedom from that burden. If you've never accepted his gift of peace, why not today? And if you already know this peace, let it remind you that you're secure in his love no matter what. When we experience peace with God, it should change how we interact with others. We can look at how Jesus' peace enables us to live at harmony with those around us. Peace with others. Ephesians 2:14. "For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of humility," or hostility. Have you ever felt the sting of division? Maybe it's a family conflict, workplace rivalry, even just the tensions in the broader culture. Division is everywhere, but Jesus came to break down these walls. When Paul originally wrote these words, it was to address the division between Jews and Gentiles, two groups who had been separated for centuries. And through his death, Jesus was able to create one new humanity who was reconciled to each other and to God. And this was a task at the time that was thought impossible. If God is able to reconcile those two groups considered irreconcilable, then surely he is able to do it for us as well. Who in your life do you need to reconcile with? Could be someone you're avoiding or someone you've hurt. You can take a step towards peace this week. It's a phone call, a letter, email, simply a prayer even, asking God to soften your own heart towards that person. And as Jesus reconciles us to God and to others, he also brings calm and assurance to our inner lives. Jesus will give us peace within. In Philippians 4, 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You ever felt overwhelmed with a particular problem? Or maybe you have a situation that just seems impossible to fix. Could be financial struggles, maybe health issues. Could be a relationship that is just falling apart. Those moments leave us helpless and restless. Yet Paul reminds us in Philippians of this incredible truth that we don't have to carry those burdens alone. Paul wrote these words while he was imprisoned. He's facing uncertainty about his own future, and yet he describes this peace as something that doesn't make logical sense. In prison, at peace. Doesn't make sense. This is a peace that comes from God and guards our hearts and minds like a fortress. This peace doesn't mean we won't face challenges. Instead, it's equipping us to face those challenges with a calm assurance that God is in control. In Paul's own life, he faces many challenges, yet he's able to remain at peace, that peace that's brought to him by God. This peace comes through prayer. In the verse just before this one, Paul tells us that we should bring everything to God with thanksgiving. When we surrender our anxieties to him, he exchanges those for peace, a peace that sustains us in ways we can't explain. So what's weighing on your heart today? It might even be something you haven't told anyone else yet. We should be bringing that to God in prayer. Take the time to bring that forward. Imagine as you hand that over to him and trust that he's able to work in ways we cannot see. As we do that, we can let our peace replace that fear and worry in our hearts. And as we experience that peace within ourselves, it's not just for our own benefit. This should be a peace that flows outward and shapes how we live and interact with others. Let's consider what it means to be a people of peace, to live as a people of peace. We're called to be peacemakers. In Matthew 5, 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We're called to be more than just those recipients of his peace. Peacemakers is the directive here. And to be called as peacemakers means that we are actively seeking reconciliation with others and with God, to promote harmony, and to reflect God's character in a world that is filled with division and conflict. You notice the promise in this verse. Peacemakers are called sons of God. This title signifies that we should be reflecting God whenever we work for peace. And being a peacemaker is not easy. It takes humility, courage, and perseverance. But as children of God, this is our calling, to embody peace and to share it with others. Whether it's in our relationships, communities, or in our own hearts, we're called to be instruments of peace, pointing others to the Prince of Peace. I think peacemaking starts in an immediate place, our relationships. Those that are closest to us, we should be living at peace with. In Romans 12:18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Relationships with others, especially those close to us, that is where peace is tested most often. Conflicts are going to arise, misunderstandings happen, and even pride can create barriers. I know for me, that's the biggest one. I don't want to admit that I'm wrong, and so I've now created a situation in which peace cannot reside. I am unwilling to humble myself and say, you know what, Lexi, you were right. I don't want to say that, but God is able to fix that situation. Paul's words remind us that while we can't control others, we can control our own actions. If possible, so far as it depends on you. Those are the words that we need to be allowing ourselves to be challenged by. This challenge will allow us to take responsibility for doing our own part in living peaceably. Being a peacemaker in relationships means you're the first to apologize. It means extending forgiveness when it's hard. It means simply listening with an open heart. And it's not about avoiding conflict. That would not be peace. But it's about handling that conflict with grace and love through Jesus Christ. So, who in your life do you need to extend that olive branch to this week? Is it a spouse, a friend, maybe a coworker? You can take that step towards reconciliation this week. Maybe a kind word, a heartfelt apology, or even just a prayer for their well-being. As we strive for peace in our personal relationships, we're also called to bring peace to the wider world. Let's explore how we can live as peacemakers in our communities. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? So we see being a peacemaker in our communities requires action. These are all verbs that he's pointing out here. There's three clear instructions. First, to do justice. This means advocating for fairness and protecting the vulnerable. Justice isn't passive. This is an active pursuit of what is right. Loving kindness, approaching others with compassion and generosity that reflects God's steadfast love. And walking humbly, relying on God's wisdom instead of our own, trusting Him to guide our steps as we seek to bring peace to the world. Again, this is the one that I need the most amount of help from God with. Walking humbly, recognizing that I'm not the smartest person in this relationship. I don't know everything. God knows far more than me, And we are far better off when we rely on Him instead of ourselves. If we can live in this way, it will create a ripple effect. We're paying it forward. Choosing to act justly and to love kindly and to walk humbly will influence others around us. And most importantly, it will point those others towards Christ, where they can find that peace themselves. So what's one way that you could bring peace in your community this week? Is it helping a neighbor in need? Maybe supporting a local charity? Or showing kindness to someone who is often overlooked? Ask God where He wants you to be a peacemaker this week. And even as we work for peace in our relationships and our communities, we must not neglect the peace that God gives us in our own hearts. We can reflect on the peace that Christ sustains with us personally in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. See, peace in our hearts doesn't mean that life is always going to be easy or that we're never going to face challenges. In fact, we're promised the exact opposite as Christians. And in this verse, Jesus is talking to his disciples, who we know do not have that easy life. That peace that he's offering is something that transcends these worldly conflicts that will arise. This peace is rooted in God's presence. When we allow Him to fill our hearts, when we allow His peace to fill our hearts, it will calm our fears and strengthen our trust in Him. This peace is unlike anything the world can give. See, there is worldly peace, but that depends on the absence of conflict. You do not find worldly peace in a situation of conflict. God is offering you something the world cannot. Peace in the midst of your conflicts. Peace in the midst of those circumstances that are troubling, that weigh on you, that give you anxiety. This peace, it should remind us that we are held by a loving God who is always in control. No matter what those circumstances, God's peace reminds us He is in control. So what's troubling your heart today? Is it a fear about something in the future? Is it a difficult decision that you need to make? Is it just a lingering sense of uncertainty? Bringing those concerns to Jesus in prayer will let you let His peace in to guard your hearts and your minds. Surrender to God through prayer to allow His peace to fill you. Now, this peace that we experience, it's only a glimpse of what's to come. As we work for peace in the present, we should be also looking forward to the eternal peace that Jesus will establish when He returns. Revelation 21, 4 through 5, He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And He who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Can you imagine a world without pain, tears, or death? That's the ultimate promise of peace that we find here in this verse. Jesus will return to make all things new. The brokenness that we see in the world around us, that will all be healed, and God's perfect peace will reign forever. Right now, we're living in the tension of already, but not yet. Jesus has already won the victory over sin and death, but we're still waiting for that final restoration. Advent reminds us to look back to what Christ has done, but also to look forward to what he will do. This future promise, how is that shaping how we live today? That should fill us with hope and inspire us to share that hope with others. When we encounter struggles or brokenness in the world, we can remember that God's story isn't finished yet. This is not how it's supposed to be. And his peace will one day come to make the world complete. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, calls us to experience and share the peace that comes from him through his life, his death, and most importantly, his resurrection. He's made a way for us to have peace with God, peace with others, and peace within our own hearts. As we embrace this peace, we're called to live as peacemakers, reflecting his love in our relationships and communities. Advent reminds us that the peace we experience now is just the beginning. One day, Christ will return to establish his eternal kingdom of peace, where there'll be no more pain, no more tears, no more division. Until that day, we can trust in his promises and actively work to bring his peace into the world around us. So what do we do? This week, I'd like you to consider two steps to live out this peace. First would be to reflect on where you need God's peace most in your life. Is it that relationship with God himself? Are you at odds with God? Do you not have a relationship with God yet? Seek that peace there. Is it in our relationships with others? Is there something that's straining your relationship with those around you? Friends, family, coworkers? Take the time to pray about that. Take the time to seek that restoration with others. And finally, reflecting on within our own heart. I know for myself, this is the most common one. I could be at peace with God, definitely, and I'm at peace with others, but there are situations in my life that makes it not be peaceful in my heart. So reflect this week on which one of these areas you need God to bring restoration to. And then share that peace with someone else in your life. Share it through your relationships. Maybe it's reconciling with someone you're at odds with. Take a step towards that reconciliation. It could be just a kind word. It could be forgiveness. Or even just reaching out to start a conversation. Also, look how you can share peace in your communities, looking for ways to bring that justice, kindness, and hope where it's needed most. And finally, look for ways to share peace in hearts, and not just our own, sharing it with others around us. Be an encouragement to someone who is struggling. I am sure that we all know someone who is struggling with peace. You can share a verse, pray, or just give them a reminder of God's promises. As you reflect and share this week, remember how powerful Christ's peace is. This is a peace that transforms hearts. This is a peace that restores relationships. And this is a peace that gives hope to our broken world. So let's live as peacemakers this week, pointing others to the Prince of Peace. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you give through Jesus. Help us to embrace that peace. Help us to reflect your peace in our lives to others. And help us to share that peace with those around us. Use us, Lord. Make us instruments of your peace in our relationships, our communities, and in the hearts of everyone. May our lives bring glory to you, and may we always be pointing others to the eternal peace that is yet to come. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.